National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
Happy anniversary to the National Catholic Register. This week, the Register celebrates 90 years in print. On November 8, 1927, what had been the local Catholic Denver Catholic Register became the National Catholic Register. This week on Register Radio, we look at the legacy of the Register at 90. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host for Register Radio.
And I'm Matthew Bunsen, the Register Senior Editor. It's a rare event for a paper to last a few decades. So it's truly miraculous that the Register has been around for 90 years. Jeanette, I know in the Register article on the 90th anniversary, you are quoted as saying that with the Register's historic mission and new growth, one thing above all is clear. God's grace is at work.
Absolutely. You know, it's very difficult to keep a newspaper alive these days, and we have been alive and around, and we're still kicking at 90. It's a wonderful testament to God's grace and the miraculous, truly. We are joined this week in studio by Francis X. Mayer, former editor of the National Catholic Register and currently a senior advisor to Archbishop Charles Chaput of Philadelphia. Welcome, Fran.
It's great to be here.
We're also joined by Kevin Knight, who is social media and blog editor for the Register, who happens also to have steeped himself over the years in the history of the Register and our founder, Monsignor Matthew Smith. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you.
I'm so glad, Kevin, that you have spent so much time, even before you started working at the Register, trying to understand Monsignor Smith's methodology as a journalist. And soon, you know, when we invited you to be a part of the Register, I really had no idea how much you actually knew about our history. So it's a pleasure to have you here this week in Birmingham. And I want to talk about Monsignor Matthew Smith. Who was he, and what were the circumstances around him taking the Register national?
Well, it's a fascinating story. He was a 22-year-old layman in Pennsylvania. He came out west. He talked about his bewilderment going through Omaha, seeing the destruction from an F-4 tornado that had just passed through, and he wasn't sure what he was getting into.
Sure.
He came out, saw the Rockies, instantly fell in love, and took a job as an editor of this failing newspaper. It was $4,000 in debt. He said their assets were four chairs and a typewriter that didn't work. And they were in the back corner of a newsletter that published for cattlemen.
Oh, wow.
And that was the entire operation. So he said working out an arrangement to borrow the typewriter from the cattlemen. And then that fall, he began planning for a national edition with 100,000 subscribers, 10 times larger than the largest Catholic newspaper at the time.
Absolutely. And he ended up going national in 1927. November 8th was their first edition, according to his memoirs, although sometimes it's unclear when we look at those first few pages. Why did he go national? What kind of issues was he facing and was the country facing that he felt we really needed a national Catholic paper?
Well, he said he went national because so many of the issues we were going to be dealing with were national in character, the ones that caught his attention. One of them that he specifically mentions, and he said it was about his most formative, was in 1921. It was here in Birmingham, and there was a priest who married a young couple. An hour later, the father of the bride showed up at his rectory and shot him to death.
Oh, my goodness.
He was appalled at that case and covered it heavily in the Denver Catholic Register, but he tracked it through the years because he saw that as a precursor of the way the culture was going, because the defense lawyer in that case, Rose, was elected to the Senate and later nominated and approved to the Supreme Court, Hugo Black. He got the murderer off, and through that, he attained fame, and Monsignor Smith was appalled. So that was really one of the key events, that and the Klan persecution surrounding that case.
So really, from the very beginning, it seems as though the Register has existed and been a tool to defend the church up against anti-Catholicism, up against threats from secularism in our society. I think Fran, you took over the Register in some interesting years. You worked for the Frawleys, mm-hmm. who bought the Register in 1970. Monsignor Smith died in 1960, I believe, right,
right.
Kevin?
1960.
The Register, we'll talk a little bit more about the Register's heyday in the 50s, but really in the 60s, the Register saw a decline. The Frawleys obviously thought this was something worth keeping, and they used their own fortune to buy the Register in 1970. But you came on several years later. Let's talk about your years and what you picked up when you started at the Register.
Well, I started in 1978, the day after Labor Day, and Paul VI had died about a month earlier. John Paul I had been elected 10 days earlier, and John Paul II was still, you know, a month away. And all 15 years that I was with the paper really were deeply marked by the pontificate of Karol Wojtyła and his fantastic work. And we tried to take his ideas and marry them to his zeal and then incorporate that into the spirit of the paper. When I came aboard, the Frawleys were trying to find a way to revivify the paper, and it was, I've used this example with you, I mean, it's like a Jaguar with an engine that needs an overhaul, but it's still a Jaguar, and if you fix the engine, you can do incredible things, and I think that's what we accomplished over 15 years at the Register during that period, which was really a period of incredible grace, precisely because of the organic nature of Wojtyła's thought and leadership and the impact it had on a whole generation of young reporters and writers. They found a voice by coming to the Register and a way to develop their own faith while expressing their faith in the work that the Register allowed them to do.
Yeah, Fran, I'm tempted first to ask you how you became so quickly a copy editor and then editor-in-chief. That has to be a pretty remarkable achievement.
Yeah, the Patrick Riley, who was my predecessor and a really wonderful guy, was concluding his contract about 5 months after I joined. And the Frawleys, apparently liked my work, and I had a deep interest in the church because of the formation that I had in my family. It certainly wasn't the career path that I was looking to follow. I wanted to be a screenwriter, but I knew a lot of the material that the paper was dealing with. And I also saw that there was an opportunity with the paper to not just go national and deal with the issues that were pressing at the beginning of the Wojtyła pontificate, but the international aspect that Wojtyła brought to his pontificate. And I thought that was an important thing to bring to the paper, and it really allowed us to do some incredible overseas work as well as national coverage.
You raise an interesting question regarding the role of the Catholic journalist. The Register's been blessed from the very beginning with Monsignor Smith all the way to Jeanette today and in between. What does it mean to be a Catholic journalist, and how has the Register been so successful in cultivating Catholic journalists and editors?
Is that to me, Matt?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I think... The Register has a unique quality of marrying a sincere faith with a high degree of intelligence, and that became one of the marks of the work that we did, and I think that attracted a lot of people to the ministry that we had with the Register. I'm not sure that that answers your question, but those are the words that came out of my mouth.
You know, there's this desire, I think, to marry the art and the sort of the trade of journalism with intense Catholicism, intense faith, intense belief, as well as a real intellectual strength, I think, has been there from the very beginning, as Matthew pointed out. Kevin, how did Monsignor Smith do that during his time?
Well, he one of the things he did, and he's famous for it, in the 1930s, he started within the Register system. It was called the Register School of Journalism. And he started by educating potential journalists in philosophy. He said he wanted them to be sane. to learn how to be sane in an insane world. So they got philosophy, they got theology, and very intense theology. I've looked at some of the work they turned in during those years, and it was absolutely rigorous. And then he taught them journalism as well.
Absolutely. And Fran, you had a similar methodology. I mean, you were always forming the people who came to you. What were some of your tips of the trade?
One of the things that we did was to put together a little Scola Brevis kind of list of readings that we asked all of our people to do when they joined the paper. And it was simple books that were just very rich in helping people think properly. I mean, one of the essays that we asked people to read was Politics in the English Language by George Orwell. And of course, Orwell was profoundly anti-Catholic in one sense, but he was naturally a deep and, I think, essentially virtuous thinker. And he had a tremendous sense of language and how to express oneself clearly without a lot of political jargon. And that's what we strived for in the people that were reporting. To answer Matt's question earlier a little bit more clearly, we wanted people to write for us who told the truth, but were formed by a Catholic worldview. And to make a sincere effort to give all sides of a story fair and honest treatment so that people, even who disagreed with us, would recognize themselves in the coverage that we gave them. But all the time, we expected our writers to be supporting the church and to be formed in the worldview of the church to advance the gospel, not sometimes directly, but indirectly by simply being good at what we did.
Stay tuned for more on the Register's 90th anniversary with Fran Mayer and Kevin Knight. This is Jeanette DiMello on Register Radio on EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Father Wade Menezes talks about the National Catholic Register.
As the National Catholic Register celebrates its 90th anniversary, I think that says a lot about the publication. It works. It's solidly Catholic. It presents the teachings of the Church, unabashedly so, and also guides its readers to be even more solidly Catholic themselves. One of the major effects that I think the Register has on its readers is that it elevates the intellect. Whether it be a faith item or a news item, it presents the news and the faith item in a very balanced way. One thing that the Register can never be accused of is being too far left or too far right. It is solidly Catholic, right in line with the Chair of Peter. And I think that says a lot about the Register.
For a 6-issue free trial of the National Catholic Register, go to ncregister.com and click on the 6 free issue banner or call 800-421-3230 for your 6 free issues. And as you await your first issue, enjoy some of our online content.
This is Al Cresta, host of Cresta in the Afternoon. And Cresta in the Afternoon looks at all of life through the lens of Scripture and the teaching of the Catholic Church. Church teaching is the light by which we view the world, and so we'll explore everything, from abortion to Hollywood, and from the First Amendment to the United Nations, and everything in between. Following St. Paul, we're seeking transformation through the renewing of our minds. So that's Cresta in the Afternoon, with me, Al Cresta, weekdays 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Get an insider's look at the latest information from EWTN. Sign up for WINGS, EWTN's weekly email newsletter. Get the latest information about live events, special features, and guests. Connect with EWTN on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Just go to EWTN.com and click on the WINGS link to sign up. Don't miss a minute of all that's happening at EWTN. Get your WINGS today.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
You know, I didn't want to hurt my child. It's not what was happening in my mind at that time. It was just all the fear and the panic. And you've got Planned Parenthood telling you it's not a baby, and it just gets all so confusing. But I'm here to speak out that the aftermath of abortion is not worth it, because I cry every day for my children.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back. I'm Jeanette DeMello here on Register Radio. I am joined in studio by Francis X. Mayer, who is a former editor of the Register, as well as Kevin Knight, who's blog editor and social media editor of the Register currently. And we're talking about the 90th anniversary of our paper in print. It's an exciting time for us. It's been an opportunity for us to put together a wonderful special edition that actually shows the front cover of the first national edition in November 8th, 1927, as well as a few clips here and there that we were able to find of some important coverage, interesting coverage over the years. Kevin, one of those clips was related to Maximilian Kolbe, and I love that we were able to find this clip magically, really. But it was from, I'm not sure, 1946 maybe, and it was remarking on the death of this priest in Auschwitz.
Right after World War II, so many stories had occurred, and they were all hidden. It was in those years, as the refugees came out of those countries, as stories began to be told, the Register carried those stories of heroism, mm-hmm. and epic heroism on the on a scale as great as any in the early church. The Register carried those out to the world. So Maximilian Kolbe, he was unknown at the time, and the other thousands of priests who had died in mm-hmm. Dachau as early as the 1930s, all of these were brought to the world, and their names became known through the work of journalists.
Yeah, and we played a part in that. It's really
right.
It's really awesome that we could find that clip and actually, show it to our readers. And Fran, you did something very similar in the years as the Soviet bloc began to fall apart. It was a very important part of your work. What was your mission during those years?
Well, of course, you had a Polish pope at the time, and he dramatized the circumstances of religion in Eastern Europe. And we had the fantastic fortune of picking up a reporter who's actually an Anglican, son of an Anglican bishop, but very Catholic-friendly. He was based in Poland and married to the daughter of a former Polish communist official. These were in the last years of the Jaruzelski regime at the time. And he was just a fantastic reporter, analyst, connector with people on the ground in Poland in the Catholic Church. I mean, we developed a wonderful relationship. Mm-hmm. The Register did with Jerzy Turowicz, who was the head of Tygodnik Powszechny, which was one of the Catholic publications that provided resistance to the regime. And then that branched out as the bloc fell apart to our coverage in Ukraine and Hungary and other places like that. So it was just serendipitous, and obviously an act of grace on the part of God too. But I mean, we connected with people at the right time in wonderful circumstances.
And what was the feedback that you received? I mean, who was reading the paper at the time?
Well, I think the same people who are reading it now, people who are interested in their faith, but not simply limited to personal piety. People with a worldview, who were genuinely and deeply Catholic, but also saw that the church is universal, and they're not simply satisfied hearing about the church in the United States. They want to see the connections elsewhere, and they want to understand what the problems and the opportunities of the church are globally.
Absolutely.
Those are the people that we appeal to.
Absolutely. And you also appealed to many young writers. And
it was a lot of fun. It really, you have no idea how much fun it was. It was just exhilarating to be alive then, because the Register quite, through kind of a wonderful kind of groupthink, became an opportunity for a portal for all sorts of emerging young scholars and writers to cut their teeth at the Register, build up bylines, and then move on to Bill McGurn is a dear friend, and of course he's a great columnist for the Wall Street Journal, but he cut his teeth at the Register. George Weigel, so many other people.
Absolutely.
It's a wonderful time.
Even our current spokesperson for the Holy See's press mm-hmm. office,
oh, Greg Burke, sure.
Who was gratefully part of our story looking back at our history. We have a story out at ncregister.com, The Register at 90, Forming and Informing Catholics with Snap, Vigor, and Courage. Those words, snap, vigor, and courage, Kevin, are actually a part of our history. What is that?
They come from that inaugural issue. It was it really became our call sign over the years. He wanted something that was easy to read, and a very light read in a lot of ways, but just went a mile deep. So he respected the intelligence of the readers, and he was willing to do what secular journalists weren't at the time, which was to look at the trends. He saw some of the big trends just because he was informed by divine revelation. He could see evil for what it really was, mm-hmm. and he had the courage to call it out. First the Klan, of course, mm-hmm. but he said it was seeing the Klan up close that let him see in the 1930s the danger that National Socialism was posing to the world. And also, he was clear-eyed and saw the danger that communism posed. He knew that the devil sent error into the world in pairs of opposites, and he saw them crystal clear.
Absolutely, and one of the things we highlighted in our 90th edition was his coverage of Mexico and the regime that really persecuted the church there in Mexico in 1920s and 30s.
Right. He used the Register as a means of getting the word out as to what was happening in Mexico. And he worked closely behind the scenes with Bishop Kelly of Oklahoma City, a heroic bishop who has done more for the church than many people realize. Bishop Kelly wrote Blood-Drenched Altars, mm-hmm. The defining book of that period of Mexican history. And so Monsignor Smith was very strategic in this. He knew exactly what was going on, and he carried the story again to the world, and he had the best of sources for that.
Yeah, Fran, you came on board in a very different era in Catholic media, and Kevin, you've arrived at the Register in another new era of the digital. How has the media landscape, and this is a question for both of you, how has that changed in the last 90 years? And what, in your view, does a Catholic publication need to do to survive today, let alone flourish as the Register has?
I think that's a really difficult question because the common wisdom, Matthew, is that print's dying and everything's going to audio and video, and there's a lot of truth to that. But you really can't be an educated person unless you read, and that's one of the reasons the Register remains so valuable. In addition, though, I think the Register and publications like it, well, there aren't a lot of publications like it, but one of the tasks for Catholics is to begin thinking about how the language, the communications tools that we use, rewire our brains and our assumptions about the organization of society, the nature of the church and religion, who God is. Those are profound issues that digital communications frame in a different way from print. So the Register is valuable in raising those questions and dealing with them, or certainly on the staff level and hopefully in print.
And that's exactly it. Monsignor Smith, he didn't come onto the scene in the 19th century. This wasn't ancient history. He came onto the scene when Hollywood was first making its splash. In fact, so much of the strength of the Klan at the time, with a membership of 2-3 million plus, came from the first Hollywood epic, Birth of a Nation. Mm. He was contending with the force of the moving image and all of these new technologies, and he very consciously, instead of starting a movie studio, he started a newspaper, because we have ideas that are too deep to be put on a postcard. It's a very powerful counterforce to what was being thrown at us at the time.
I mean, again, you really cannot be an educated person unless you read. That doesn't mean that you limit yourself to books and hide in a closet, but I mean, if you don't read, you can't be intelligent enough to deal with the modern world.
Yeah, I think that is a challenge that we all face today. I know for us at the Register, I have this constant challenge, a constant pressure, of course, to keep adding media. You know, I mean, we have the print product, which takes a great amount of effort. It's a beautiful paper. We enjoy putting it out, and we enjoy the feedback that our readers give us. We produce news every single day on the website, and then we have to push it out through all the social media. So I feel as though, and we have a radio show, I feel like we're constantly adding media without always adding team members or staff members. So it becomes a challenge. But not only the challenge of keeping it all going, I think it is the challenge of the mind, really, in many sense.
Right. And we'll go wherever our readers, our audience want to see us. But we'll, just like Monsignor Smith, we use the latest in technology. He was constantly buying new printing presses.
Mm-hmm.
He was very much like St. Maximilian Kolbe in that sense. This is also the 90th anniversary of St. Maximilian moving his operations and bringing them to a new level in Poland. The two of them were working together, and what ties those two together and the ongoing bloodline of the Register is this comfort with the new technologies, but without using it as a gimmick in any way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What are every age, I think, has had its challenges in covering the church or in covering society. Fran, what were some of the biggest struggles that you had during your years in terms of the coverage?
Oh, the conflicts within the church following from the council. I mean, it's just been one 50-year civil war, and it continues right now. But they were particularly pronounced in the 80s. And if you track the encyclicals of John Paul II, they really systematically create an anthropology and an answer to questions that or challenges to Catholic teaching that emerged in the after the council because of a misinterpretation of what it means to be open to the world.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, what do you see as the struggles that Monsignor Smith faced at the time?
Well, many of the struggles he faced came from sympathizers with some of the currents of the day. He said that his biggest frustration was with, again, the Justice Hugo Black confirmation. So many Catholics who were poorly formed supported that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't mention, but in its heyday, the Register had 850,000 readers, and this was the Register system of newspapers that Monsignor Matthew Smith developed. The Register's print product does not reach that many people, but we are really twice that many on our website, and we are twice that many also on Facebook. So God has graced the Register in these years, keeping us going really in a miraculous way. So we invite our readers to check out our coverage, their 90th anniversary coverage at ncregister.com. Go to Peter Smith's story, The Register at 90, Forming Informing Catholics. Thank you for joining us this week on Register Radio here on EWTN. For Matthew Bunsen and our producer, Jeff Burson, I'm Jeanette DeMello.